Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Bob Bertog, the president of the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling. Bob, how are you today?
Doing well, John. How are you?
Pretty good. I could use a little water. I could use a little rain.
Yeah, we're about an inch and a half behind where we should be at this point of the month. Man. And what I did do, though, is I took your advice last week. We talked, and you talked about I was at a tennis match, and you said I thought I'd be at golf. So I decided to go golfing over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
I talked to the superintendent, and the course, it looks like a bomb went off on some of the tee boxes. It's just misery loves company. It looks just as bad on these professionally manicured, unbelievable budgets that they can put anything they want at it, and that they just can't keep up with the diseases in the turf.
Oh, really? I mean, it wasn't from wedges and irons. It was from just the grass itself was suffering on these golf courses?
The grass in some of the tee boxes was literally just all dead, browned out completely. So you had to tee it up, and you're hitting it off the sand underneath the grass. It was amazing. And the greens look good, the fairways, though, and the rough. Same thing that we're seeing outside of people's homes. It's just diseases are unbelievably prevalent.
How can I get a lawn like a green or a fairway? What's the secret there?
Well, start by tearing out what you have and start with bent grass, but then you're going to have to mow it at least three times a week.
Bent grass? That's a kind of grass? Bent grass?
Most of your fairways and greens and tee boxes are creeping bent grass. You might see some fairways that are Kentucky blue, but the majority of them are creeping bent.
And can I buy that at Home Depot, or do I got to go online and order creeping bent grass?
You'll probably have to get it custom made. I doubt you're going to be able to buy that at Home Depot. But there's seed suppliers that will sell it to you.
And
but
then
it's a lot of work.
Why is that? I mean, I'll mow the lawn, or I'll have Brenda do it.
It's very high maintenance. Special fertility programs. You have to have fungicide programs, special watering. It's a lot of work. We have some clients that have putting greens on their property, and it's a lot of work.
Huh. That's funny, because it doesn't look like a lot of work to me. They have those big mowers, and they mow it, and then the sprinkler comes out, and they water it. And I think, well, we can mow and water, and whatever that kind of grass is. I always thought it was just a function of sunshine. I thought you were going to tell me that I don't get enough sunlight for the nice grass, but maybe I do. I've got a south-facing lawn, you know?
The sunlight definitely has an impact on it. The bent grasses prefer full sun, but bluegrasses do as well.
All right, so
if you're working at your home, just stick with a nice blue blend with some fescues in there and some ryegrass, and get a nice stand of turf. It'll look fine.
You know, I've made progress. I think a lot of us can relate to this, but there's still patches of weeds, and then there's that one neighbor who just has that gorgeous thing. And I don't know if that guy started out with sod or if he's just been fighting the fight longer than I have been, but some lawns on one block just look immaculate, like there was never a weed in there. And I'm thinking, what are they doing that I'm not, you know?
High maintenance.
Yeah,
they're
I guess
just
so.
Watching it every day. There are people that are like that, yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Let's take some calls. You ready, Bob?
Sure.
312-981-7200. Hey, Bob Bertog, can I kill seaweed with a non-selective herbicide?
Seaweed.
SEA. I don't know. I'm sure they're not getting seaweed from the ocean. I thought maybe this was a kind of weed that's in the lawn. Maybe it's not, Bob?
No, it's probably it's probably seaweed that's actually in a pond, and it's in the on the fringe of the pond.
Right.
And there are special herbicides for it. They're aquatic herbicides. Definitely read the label, because if you just use a regular herbicide, you're going to probably kill a lot of fish. But there are aquatic herbicides that you can use for weeds that grow in the water. Please, please, please read the label.
This is Janet. You're on WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Janet, what can we do for you?
I have a question, and I'll be quick because I've got dogs in my car. But I have a mock orange bush, and suddenly it shot up some tall, I mean, like 5 foot tall wooden stems. There's flowers at the top and nothing at the bottom. To keep it even, is it okay to cut that off?
Sure, you can cut it. I would let the flowers first fade, though, because right now all the energy is going into the into the flowers, and then I would wait for them to be spent, and then you can go ahead and cut them.
Wait, why are you waiting for that? Why not, if she cuts it now, the energy will go to the rest of the plant, which she wants to retain, right?
Well, you're going to confuse the plant, because it's going to sense, it's right now it's feeding those flowers. So it's saying, okay, all my energy is going into giving this plant some nice flowers. Now you cut it, so now I have to take all my energy and heal that wound. You're going to confuse the plant.
Wow. So wait until the flower dies off and then go ahead and trim away. How's that sound?
Yep.
Is it best to wait until fall? I mean, a little cooler weather?
You could do that too. It's probably even better, yes. Because then the plants won't be as stressed.
I'll do that. Thanks a lot, Bob, and thanks, John.
You bet. Thanks for the phone call. I didn't know you could confuse a plant. Like if you go up to it and say, what are your plans? That might confuse it as well, right, Bob?
I see a speed joke coming here somewhere.
This is Jack now. You're on WGN with Bob Bertog. Jack, can we help you?
Yeah, I have a Japanese maple I've had for about 10 years or so, and all of a sudden this year it's all shriveled up and looks like it's dying and it's dried out. And a guy at the store told me spray neem oil on it, and I've done that twice now, and I have been watering it. Any suggestions? It's in a good spot. My brother-in-law has one across the street, and his is gorgeous.
Is it the whole plant that's dead or just the tips?
No, the whole plant. Now, if I look inside, I see some leaves look like it's pretty good. But the whole plant is involved. I don't know what happened. It was fine last year.
Geez, it could be a million things. If it was just the tips, I'd say it's cicada damage. But if it's the whole plant, and I have heard of that oil that you're talking about. I've never used it. I'm not 100% familiar with it. So Japanese maples are expensive, and they're very finicky, so I would not hesitate too long to call an arborist.
Okay. Sorry to hear about that. There's a maple tree in our neighborhood that's in full fall bloom. You know, the leaves are red. I know we've talked about that the last few weeks. You're probably not surprised to hear that, right, Bob?
Well, if it's just on the tips, that was from, we had such a heavy spring, all the rains in the spring. And that's the story I'm hearing from arborists, that they too much growth in the spring. But if you're talking about full fall coloration, that could be a problem in the root zone. You could have what's called girdling roots, which is a bigger problem.
Oh, that's where the ball and the roots are not given enough opportunity to sort of fan out, right?
The tree is actually strangling itself is what's happening. As the base of the tree gets bigger, it's growing into the roots that have wound around the tree, and it's basically strangling itself.
Wow. And you have talked to us about a solution for that, which is a lot of work, right? Like you need to dig that thing out and untangle or free up or cut some of those root stems. Is that right, Bob?
Correct. You expose the whole root flare. You use compressed air compressor. You don't want to just go in there with a shovel. An air compressor is the best. You blow the root zone out.
Wow.
So you can see every root. But this is something you want to leave to a professional, because you could actually be cutting the lifeline of that tree.
Bob Bertog, President, Bertog Landscape Company, Wheeling. All right, Bob, more questions, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Ann, you're on WGN. Ann, how can we help you?
I have a question about crabgrass. We have large areas of crabgrass, and we're doing a post-emergence. I'm having somebody do that. And I want to know, once they die, do I have to pull them up, or will the whole plant, the crabgrass, just remain and die off?
The whole plant will remain and die off, but if you're going to plan on overseeding it, I would go ahead and rake them out of the area, or take a spade and knock them out. Because otherwise you just have too much noise going on where you want to reseed.
Are you going to plant new seeds?
I should
then?
Reseed then?
Yeah.
Yes,
and,
in the fall.
And pull them up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the question I'll have to tell my son. That's the right thing to do, which I have thought it was. But okay, thank you.
Yep, good. It's a competition for sunlight and nutrients, even though that dead plant is there. You want to get that out of the way, put your new seed in there, and then water it and start all over again. Right, Bob?
You're 100% correct.
Please ask Bob what to do about junk trees that have taken root in our hedge. We didn't notice them until they rose above the level of the hedge. Can we try to dig them up after the hedge has had its fall trim? Or should we engage the service of a landscaping service so as not to damage the roots of the hedge?
I wouldn't try and dig them out. I would try and prune them all the way as close to the ground as possible.
Right.
and then get a herbicide that you put, you know, carefully paint it onto the stem that you cut. It'll eventually translocate down into that plant.
Yeah.
It should kill the roots.
I got that. I've been kind of fighting that same fight myself. Let's pick up another phone line and talk to Sharon. You're on WGN. Sharon, how can we help you?
I'm having a terrible problem with my lawn. I am my landscaper, do-it-yourself person, and I have, the last 3 years, had something that people tell me is quack grass. It is thick-bladed, and if you let it stay in your lawn long enough, it almost grows in a circular position in your lawn.
Yeah.
And I've understood there's nothing that I can do. I have been pulling it for 3 years, which means I have to recede. But are you smarter than everybody I've talked to?
What you have to do, it's considered a grassy weed. Actually, a lot of people use it in parks and stuff because it does very well with high traffic. But it is ugly. So the only way to really get rid of it is a non-selective herbicide, and then tear out the area and then put in some topsoil and either sod or seed.
Okay, so what would the? I'm using something that was designed for crabgrass, which obviously I don't have, and I called the company and they told me they have no knowledge of anything that I can spray on it to kill that area. So do I just continue to go in there with a tool? And it's easy to pull this up. You can just tell, you know, what that growth is. But what is the herbicide that you're telling me that would be helpful?
It's a non-selective herbicide, something similar to Roundup. Just it's going to take out the good and the bad, but that's the only way to get rid of quack grass.
Okay, so it's non-selective, meaning it's going to kill everything in its path, like Roundup.
Yep.
You're just going to kill that spot or those spots, and then dig it out and start all over again, right, Bob?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Good luck to you on that, John and Bob. Our 20-year-old sugar maple was really attacked by the cicadas. 25 to 30% of the leaves are dead. Should I fertilize it? If so, when and how much? Is it too late this year? Says Larry.
No, it's not too late. Fall fertilization is one of the best times to fertilize your trees. Just get a nice blend of fertilizer. There's a million different analysis of fertilizers you could use, or you could farm it out to a tree company and then they'll do a deep root injection, which might be the best thing. But definitely the trees got stressed out from the cicadas. They did lose the tips of the branches, which caused them to put the energy into healing those wounds. So, you know, sure, the tree's stressed out, and a nice nutrient boost in the fall is not going to hurt. So
I never thought about that. I've never put a nutrient down for a tree. And I have some newer trees and some older trees. They're trees. You should actually contemplate feeding the trees, putting nutrients down there, Bob?
Right. And if you wanted to be a weekend warrior and do it yourself, you can just go to the garden center and get a root feeder, which attaches to your garden hose. It's got a little jar on it that you put the capsules in, and then you just go around the drip line of the tree, which is basically you follow where the ends of the canopy of the tree is. That's called the drip line, and that's where the roots that take up the most nutrients are, right at the drip line. So you want to follow around there and put the probe in the ground and put it on a slow trickle for a couple minutes in each section, and have the fertilizer in the holder of the root feeder.
Yeah. Wow, this is helpful as always, and lots of questions on the phone and the text line as well, but now we're out of time, Bob, so let's shoot for next Wednesday. How does that sound?
We'll pick it up next week, John. Sounds great. Have a nice week.
That's your friend Bob Bertog from the Bertog Landscape Company in Wheeling.